You've waited all week, and now the wait is over. It's the only unfiltered media podcast in America. This is Trash Talk on WEEI.com. Here he is, your boy, Blind Mike. Blind Mike.
Hey now. I've missed you guys. I've been gone for 2 weeks. We don't usually miss weeks here on Trash Talk, but last week, we were in a state of emergency. If you listen to the last episode, you might think that if anyone on this show got fired, it would be me for, you know, trashing management. But no, because they don't listen to this program. But what they do is check their payroll.
The important things.
So as you can tell, that voice is not Jared.
I can talk like Jared.
Oh, hey. So Jared is no longer with us. And I won't get into specifically why, because that's his story to tell, and I don't want to ruin any future opportunities he has. But I will say this. The way this company pays producers is shameful. And the fact that guys have to kind of maneuver around things to try and make a livable wage for doing a lot of work. And Jared was coming in at 5 in the morning for Hillman. He was doing stuff with WEI and then doing this podcast for no extra money. And I don't know how to say what he got fired for without just saying it, but
yeah, the most ambiguous way possible.
Yeah. He was pulling some. Jared was in the wrong for doing the shit he did. And he's also an idiot because, let me tell you, folks, rule number one, just deny. Just deny shit when you get in trouble. Oh, no, I didn't know I was doing. Oh, it was a mistake.
Right.
I didn't know
I'm
I was doing that.
Bad with technology.
Whoops. I don't know how to operate these goddamn computers. So that's what you do. You deny till you die. I've always said. So Jared's first mistake was admitting what he did. But, Jared was in the wrong, but it's also, you see the way they pay producers here, and it's just shitty, because they're, I mean, without them, the place wouldn't fucking run. You wouldn't be hearing this, even though I think the audio might be shit.
All right, I apologize in advance.
Your mic sounds pristine.
We're trying.
Mine sounds excellent.
Yep.
So I'll just get right to it. The voice you hear is Caitlin.
Hello, everybody.
Who works with the Dale and Keefe program.
Absolutely.
So really, you know, I've been going down the hall. Dan quit. Now Jared got fired. So every few months, I have to go down the hall to trick some wide-eyed rube into working for me for free. And this time I got a young lady.
All right. Shaking it up a little bit.
Yes. So now I can finally just make awful sexist jokes.
Right.
And it'll be fine because I'm forcing Caitlin to laugh at them.
Right, because you're friends with the girl. You're fine.
Yeah.
You're good.
Yeah.
You're good.
Oh, there's a girl in the room? Oh, it's fine. He's not a pig. So yeah, it'll be interesting. We'll see how this goes. I don't know how much Caitlin wants to talk on air or anything, but
I'll do my best. I'm more concerned about the audio right now, but yeah. We're trying. We're good.
It's always been shit. It's okay. Kind of our thing.
All right.
Like the few listeners I have, I think it's almost like endearing. They're like, the audio sucks. He's a blind guy. He doesn't know what he's doing. He whines about not being on air.
Right.
I think it's almost, they like that it's a train wreck. So,
well,
the worse audio, the better.
I'll give them what they want then.
So it sucks that Jared's not going to be here anymore. I think he was doing a good job. I thought we found kind of a groove together. But onward and upward.
We hope. We hope.
And he's dead now. He killed himself. And he's no longer with us. So you don't have to worry about it.
R.I.P. Jared.
Yeah, he had a good run. And now he's dead. So, moving on.
It's got morbid.
So, of course, we took a week off. But the political correctness police are raging on. Ron Darling is in trouble now for nothing. For using an expression that a million people have used a million fucking times. And really, this is an example. We've talked about this before on the program. This is an example of when the people that are outraged are a billion times more racist than the guy they're calling a racist.
Exactly.
So if you haven't heard the clip, Masahiro Tanaka, a Japanese player, on the mound for the Yankees Saturday night, and Ron Darling said this.
A little chink in the armor for Tanaka here. This is the first inning that he has lost a little of his control.
Now, for those of you that aren't familiar with English, what that means is that Masahiro Tanaka looked good for the whole game. Now he's starting to show a few blemishes.
Right, his weakness is coming out.
There's a few dents or chinks in the armor. Now,
watch out, Mike. You can't say that.
Now, to see that there's a Japanese guy on the mound and say, well, he must be being racist. That's racist.
Right.
First of all, chink would be a derogatory term to a Chinese man. It would mean nothing to a Japanese man. Right? Like, it would be like, well, never mind. I'm not going to come up with this.
I know. I'm like,
that'll
oh,
just get
well,
me, that'll just get me in
you
trouble.
You sure you want to go there?
But, so it doesn't make any sense. And then, what all the people that were angry at this didn't know is that Ron Darling, his mother is Hawaiian and Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
So,
which
Ron Darling
technically
is
makes him, what, a fourth?
A quarter
okay.
Chinese.
All right.
So, why Ron Darling would decide in the fourth inning of a playoff game to suddenly just become a racist.
Bash his mother's name.
Yeah, I don't understand. But, genuinely, you have to be a racist to have that pop in your mind. Seriously. Like, if you're sitting at home watching the game, you hear, he's got this first chink in the armor here, and they go, that Japanese guy on the mound! Ah, he's a racist! That means you're so focused on race all the time that you were waiting for something to call him out.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because most people would never have thought of that.
It's almost like people hear the phrase and they're like, oh, well, that might make somebody offended
right.
somewhere.
Right.
And then the guy pitching just happened to be.
And not even.
Right.
Oh, you happen to be almost.
Almost.
Yeah.
Potentially offended by. I don't
right.
know.
It's like if someone, I'm Italian, and if someone called me like whatever a racist term for like a Greek person is, and I'm like, you're close. You almost got me. I'm going to be angry now.
Right.
It's just weird that people get, and then, Ron Darling apologized. He issued a statement, and it's like, what are you doing? I wish we could just get to a place, and I know, advertisers ruled the world, and I'm sure TBS panicked and said, you got to apologize. They were never going to fire Ron Darling for this. So if Ron Darling said, no, I'm going to ignore it and it's going to go away, then he would have been fine. So I'd like someday, for us to all just be able to say, hey, go fuck yourselves. Because the people that get mad at this shit are nerds.
Mm-hmm.
They're just losers. And what we've done now is we give in to losers. We give in to people with nothing to do all day that look for this shit and try to bring people down based on seeing weakness and needing attention. And for whatever reason, we've all decided to go, you're right, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Whatever you need, I apologize.
Right. I wonder, too, if it was not, maybe it's the fact that it's the playoffs now, so more people are watching. And
I'm sure.
I wonder if he had said anything in the regular season, if it wouldn't have been.
No one would have noticed.
Right.
Because I'm sure that phrase has been uttered a million times.
Mm-hmm.
I remember someone got in trouble for saying it in regards to Jeremy Lin.
Mm-hmm.
When Jeremy
that was like
Lin
the
was
big,
going off.
Right.
Yeah. But that one, you could even see it's like, he might, that I forget the exact
I think that was, context. It was a headline in like
yeah. And it was like,
a news story.
On ESPN or something,
mm-hmm.
I think. And that was like, they might have been trying to slip it in.
Right.
Like that might have been a genuine.
That's slightly, right. Slightly
but if you're listening to Ron Darling, you know that he's not trying to pull a fast one on
right.
us.
Right.
That's just how, I've heard him say that. I've heard him use that phrase in other scenarios with a white guy in the mound or whatever.
Right.
So it's like he's not trying to fucking pull one over on us. It's just silly.
Oh, maybe I can be racist here.
Yeah, right. Finally, I've got my
yes.
chance. But what I keep saying it. And no one listens to me. But I keep saying it. That if we finally just started saying, like, fuck you, man. Like, leave me alone.
Right.
Quit being a nerd. We can't accept nerd culture anymore. And what I mean by that is the people that want to bring someone down by being a hall monitor. Remember what a loser the hall monitor was in school? Do you have a pastor? Should you be going to the bathroom right now? It's like, shut the fuck up.
Can you drink water for that long? Get out of here.
This is second lunch. You're not supposed to be out here. It's like, shut the fuck up. Leave me alone.
Right.
I'm skipping class, and I don't need mommy checking in on
right.
me.
It's like, why are you so miserable that what I do bothers you?
So now we've given in. Hall monitors rule the world now.
Right.
And that's all they are. They're just fucking hall monitors that instead of saying, hey, fuck you, I'll walk through the hallway if I want. You don't have any authority over me. They give you a badge, and it doesn't mean it. They give you a badge with a teddy bear and a policeman's cap on it, and you think you're running shit. That's what these people are, but instead we go, oh my God, I'm so sorry. You got me. I am a racist. It's like, no, you're not. Stop. Don't apologize for
right.
that. I don't know.
Poor Ron sitting at home now being like, oh, I wonder if I just offended all of my family and
yeah, right. Right. Yeah, maybe my family thinks I'm
like
a racist.
Like, maybe I should apologize. Like,
and then did you see the one, this guy, Scott Kelly, who's an astronaut? Did you see that?
Mm.
So he's an astronaut.
Okay.
Pretty bright guy.
Right.
Imagine.
Probably does some good
honestly,
things.
I didn't look a lot into this because this was just like, the fuck are we doing?
Mm-hmm.
He quoted Winston Churchill.
Oh boy.
Seems normal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Winston Churchill, helped.
Helped stop
World War II. And not only that, he spit out a lot of gems. He had a lot of good turns of phrase.
Quotable.
Yeah. He knew his way around a sentence, that guy. So I didn't understand. Then I see Scott Kelly, I guess, quoted Winston Churchill in some form, and then issued a statement on Twitter. I apologize for quoting Winston Churchill. I was not aware of his atrocities.
Uh-oh. What did he do?
Nothing. I mean, like, all the shit that all fucking white guys that are pieces of shit did back then. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
If we can't quote guys who were racist,
right.
there aren't going to be a lot of guys we can quote. Ben Franklin, fucking George Washington, wipe them all off the list.
Right. They did because nothing good, only their few bad moments.
The world has been a racist place for a long time. We all get that. But now it's like, well, we can't acknowledge the people that came before, like, 1975 because they were all racists.
Right.
So it's like Winston Churchill. You can't quote Winston Churchill in any context because I guess he believed in eugenics, which is a thing that's been widely disproven.
Right.
But it's like it was also 1940.
Right, in his time.
Right.
Did he even know?
So they were all fucking morons back then. But they popped out a lot of good quotes. Winston Churchill, guy might have had a lot of flaws, but he popped out some good turns of phrase, I'm telling you. So it's like, we can't just quote people now when the context makes sense and it's a good point. They have to immediately go, he was a white guy 100 years ago. You're not allowed to quote him. It's just bizarre.
All right.
Hall monitors, man. We give in to him very easily. And moving on. I get so angry about it. I need to calm down.
I feel like you fought a hall monitor back in your day or something. something happened.
I was a cool kid. And
right.
No. I usually never talk straight sports on this program.
Ooh.
But I feel like I have to. Red Sox clinched.
Right. It's a big deal. It's a big day.
And I'm almost a little annoyed that the Red Sox won, only because
of course.
Only because it takes away from the absolute beating David Price deserves. Mm. Like, what a loser. What an absolute loser that guy is. Oh, my God. Just deflates. Like, people were saying, oh, the Red Sox-Yankees rivalry lost something because the stadium in Game 2 was dead. It's like, no, that's what David Price does.
Right.
When David Price walks into a room, he sucks the energy.
Everyone's like, God damn it.
He is the fucking worst.
Not this guy again.
I've never heard better imagery when describing a person, then my boy Big Jim Murray described David Price as a human shrug. And that's just perfect. That's what that guy is. I don't know, man. Like, what are you going to do?
The Eeyore.
I suck. Yeah, right. He's fucking terrible. Like, it's sad to watch a guy that bad who gives that little of a fuck. I really hope he leaves.
Like, do you realize where you are at this moment? Like,
if he had any pride, he'll opt out in the offseason. Like, he can opt out, but he's owed, like, $35 million a year for the next 2 years.
Right.
So he probably won't. But if he has an ounce of pride, he'll leave. He'll have to, right?
He'll maybe do some pull-ups, strengthen his arm a little bit, actually, you know, play baseball.
He's not, like, a bad pitcher, which is that's the thing. It's like, he's just a pathetic shell of a man. Like, he just crumbles. Anytime people are watching, he crumbles into a little fucking ball, and he can't take any amount of pressure. Like, he's just a loser. Some people are just losers, Caitlin. If I can teach you anything, it's that some people are just born losers, and they'll always be losers.
I feel bad, though.
And that's what David Price is.
Yeah.
See, that's the energy I've brought to the show. I feel bad.
I feel bad. I'll always try to find, you know, the happy part of David Price.
That's nice. So we're not walking. It's nice to walk in here and not have someone just bashing the company. Because that's my job.
Right.
We can't have both of us doing it or the room will explode.
All right. Too much negative.
But then, so obviously, Red Sox won last night. Bullpen fucking sucks. If you heard me on with Gilroy over the summer, you heard me say that I didn't think this team would do anything. I thought they'd lose in the first round of the playoffs. And I'm standing by my statements, even though I've been proven
you're wrong.
I've been proven wrong, but I stand by. So obviously, Alex Cora did a lot to turn around the attitude of the team. That's something I didn't take into account. John Farrell, met him at Foxwoods.
Wow.
I think he and I...
Did you roll the dice?
Made him laugh four times. Four big laughs I got out of John Farrell. One of them was at the expense of Pete Abraham. I mentioned that Pete Abraham and I don't get along. I called him like a fat-headed idiot. And John Farrell laughed and he goes, oh, that fucking guy. So I feel bad because me and John Farrell are boys. But another loser. Another just kind of a loser attitude. And that's what he brought to the team. So Alex Cora changed that a lot, and it's something I didn't take into account. But this bullpen fucking sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think Alex Cora has honestly gotten lucky.
Oh, definitely.
But the fact that you needed to bring Rick Porcello in relief in game one is fucking crazy. And that you had to bring Chris Sale in last night when the game was kind of in hand at the time, 4-0, 6 outs to go.
Right, it's probably already
every other bullpen in the playoffs wouldn't have needed to bring in a starter.
Right.
Especially in the American League.
He already has his sweatpants on in the back, you know. Already drinking some champagne, just...
Yeah. Chris Sale, we shouldn't have had to bother Chris Sale.
Exactly.
I mean, I guess he wanted to get in the game, but he always does. There's maybe, and I stand by what I said over the summer, there's only a few personalities on the Red Sox I can get behind. And Chris Sale is one of them. And he seems like a genuine competitor. And he wants to get in the game, but we shouldn't have had to use him. So that bullpen will be the demise of this team. And I'll say it even after they win the World Series. I'll say they got lucky. I will be proven right eventually, I swear. But last thoughts on the game last night. Speaking of competitors, I loved what Rick Porcello said. But everyone was bashing Angel Hernandez.
Angel.
Some comparisons were made to me, which I didn't find complimentary.
Hmm.
Yes, because I'm blind.
Right.
Get it? I think I would make a better umpire than what a rough couple days that guy has.
Yeah.
And it's always that type of guy. So I guess Angel Hernandez had, like, I don't know if he just threatened it or there was an actual lawsuit filed.
Oh, no, there was,
against Major League Baseball. Mm-hmm. The reason he wasn't umping the World Series a couple years ago was because he's Hispanic, obviously.
Obviously.
But apparently, it's because he's a fucking loser. Another loser. Angel Hernandez.
Well, it's a show of losers.
The theme
today.
Of the show today is losers. Angel Hernandez was... God awful. For both sides, he was terrible. And then, by a stroke of luck, was behind the plate last night and was god awful. And CC, Chris Berman's best nickname ever, I thought. CC, splish splash, I was taking Sabathia. made a bit of a sore loser, but I still like what he said about Angel Hernandez last night.
I don't think Angel Hernandez should be umping playoff games. He's absolutely terrible. He's terrible behind the plate today. He's terrible at first base. It's amazing that how he's getting a job to pitch and to play to umpire in these playoff games.
What did you say to him?
It's just a conversation for us, but he shouldn't be anywhere near a playoff game.
Is that sentiment shared by many of your
everybody? I think. I think if you go ask them on the other side too.
Was his strike zone tonight?
It's always.
Yeah.
It's always. He's bad. I don't understand why he's doing these games.
I like that. If I was a Yankees fan, I'd be all aboard the CC train. I love, like, athletes are such pussies now that they're all they go through the media training courses and they're all afraid to say anything. But it's like when you just got your ass kicked and right. you're in the heat of the moment.
He's upset.
And you have a shitty umpire and you're upset. I like CeCe saying something. Too many guys are just bland and boring.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently not everyone would agree that Angel Hernandez sucked last night.
He's bad. I don't understand why he's doing these games.
My boy, Pretty Ricky, has something to say about that. Rick Porcello, the winning pitcher, didn't find Angel Hernandez to be quite as bad.
Obviously not, right? Oh, God.
Oh, Caitlin, her first fuck-up. That's all right. Jared usually fucked up 6 minutes into the program. We got at least 15.
All right, let me...
Oh, God. She's got this. You got this. See, a guy I would be yelling at and making fun of. A woman, I feel like.
Oh, hey, my gosh.
Hey, you got this, kid. Atta girl.
Oh.
You're going to get there. There's only so long.
I'm offended you're not
God
yelling
damn it,
at me.
Caitlin.
All right, there
what
we go.
What the fuck is this? Play the clip.
All right, there we go.
Crazy ball. Not happy with the strike zone, and he said as much after the game. What were your thoughts of facing the same zone?
He threw the ball over the plate, CC. I thought Angel Hernandez called a good game. You got to put the ball over the white part of the plate, and then you get strikes called. So that's all I got to say about that.
Love Rick Porcello. Porcello's another guy. Seems like a competitor. Yeah, seems like a competitor. Says, fuck you, when the Yankees are whining over there.
Right. Throw the ball over the white part.
That's what I like to see. I like to see a little shit-talking Red Sox-Yankees. Maybe the rivalry will be better. It was lacking something this year. I think the fact that it was Red Sox-Yankees added a lot to it, but the series as a whole was pretty boring. Until the ninth inning last night, it was kind of shitty to watch. Like,
right.
It was just,
like a blowout game, like, it's nice and everything,
yeah.
But, yeah.
So the Sox go into Houston, where they will lose because of their bullpen.
And what's your prediction?
And if I'm wrong... Not enough people listen to this podcast to call me out on it, so go fuck yourselves.
I'll call you out on it.
what do we have for time? Because I might want to say something, but
we're at,
I don't know how long I've rambled here.
I think 18 minutes.
Oh, I got plenty of time. Jesus Christ. Yeah,
I
wanted to.
We're at 22 minutes.
I wanted to do a little bit shorter show. Actually, the length of the show should be this week. The last few weeks I've rambled for an hour, so we'll wrap it up soon. But I wanted to give my thoughts. On the state of the station.
Oh.
The last month or so.
Do tell.
It's... So, I love Jerry Callahan. I've listened to him since I was 13 years old. Guy's a great radio talent. He's America's crotchety uncle. I love listening to him. I love that he's not afraid to be a conservative... And voice all of his opinions in an incredibly liberal state. So I love Jerry. And I like that Mark Whipple thing, where if we were here last week, we probably would have talked about that. Do you see the coach of UMass football?
Oh, yes.
Said we got raped out there
right.
by the refs. Jerry Callahan defended him. And that was one where even I went like, he's got to know not to say that shit. You know what I mean?
Just,
like,
just not this month, please.
He should have known... Not to say. Like, that was a dumb thing to say. But Callahan had the balls, well, agree with him or not, he had the balls to be like, hey, it's a phrase people use. We don't need to suspend the guy. We don't need to be up in arms about it. He'd say it was a dumb thing to say. But don't act like you're outraged as if your friends haven't said shit like that all the time. You know what I mean? And Callahan's not afraid to say shit like that, and that's why I respect the hell out of him. But that show has been lacking something. There's... A huge void. I mean, that's just what happens when a guy like Minahan leaves. But it's weird to hear that show. Like, that's the type of thing I think Jerry should be talking about. Like, the UMass thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird to hear that show now because they devolve into straight sports talk so often. When it's like, that's fine. I think Jerry's capable of doing that in an entertaining way. Here's what I was trying to get across to Gilroy when we had this argument on the air. Is that Jerry's very capable of having a sports argument and it being entertaining. But that audience is now programmed to being, we're the guys that make fun of that type of shit. We're the show that makes fun of Mike Greenberg and Around the Horn and Bomani Jones and guys like that. We make fun of that shit. So when Minahan's away for a little while and you devolve back into that, I find it so strange. And Mutt is another example. I love Mutt, and I think Mutt's done a great job in there. But it's like Mutt's instinct when he's not with Kirk is to go back to sports. And it's weird, and that's fine. I think they do a good job with it. But it's weird to hear that show now when it's like, well, we're just doing the exact opposite of what we've been for the last 2 years. So I think they are in desperate need of either getting Minahan back or finding a guy that can do that and keep Jerry off of straight sports talk and get back more into just making fun of shit and having fun and calling people out.
Back to the politics.
Because it's been tough. Not even the politics so much, but just the vibe of that show.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just tough to listen. Like, I don't listen that often now. I've started listening to other shit because it's like, well, this isn't the show I've been a huge fan of for 2 years. And it's tough when you lose half the show. Minahan's half the show, if not more, really. Like, it's kind of become his show. I mean, you know,
right.
again,
it's,
I like Jerry.
Kirk and Callahan,
I like Jerry,
right.
but that's Kirk's show with Jerry Callahan. They're equal partners. But as you've been able to see for the last month and a half, that's Kirk's show. When he's not there, it's a completely different show. They're not able to maintain the vibe. So, you know, it's just tough to listen to. And I think I'm speaking for a lot of the fans that love that show that have kind of been tuning out or maybe switching back and forth between that and something else over the last month and a half. And it's like, you know, Reamer's fine. And I liked him when he was in here and everything. And he seems like a good kid. But it's like he'll mold the whatever container you pour him in. You know what I mean? Like he'll if you want to talk sports, he'll tap dance for whoever. And he'll try and be Kirk and try and make fun of what they're talking about. But it might not even be his fault. The kid just wants a job, obviously. So he's willing to do whatever. And I'm sure I'd be doing the same thing if I was in his position. But it's just not what that show is. I think the closest they get to being back in that show is when it's Callahan and Tomasi arguing about shit.
Right.
That's the closest they get, really. So it's been tough. It's been kind of tough to listen to the station. Because then you got... Like, I genuinely like the afternoon show. I think they've gotten very good. I mean, Ordway obviously knows how to run a show. He's become a bit of an old dork, but I still love him.
We love him.
Merloni's gotten excellent at radio, I think. I think he's honestly the star of that show. And then Fourier has gotten so much better at making fun of himself. Like, for real. Like, he used to be not great at that. And, like, if you made fun, he would do the prank phone calls, and people would have to fake laugh at it, and it's like, what are you doing? Now I think he's very good at, A, realizing what's make funnable. And goofing on himself for it. So that show's very good, but I can't get to it. Because you've got a watered-down Kirk and Callahan, and then I tried Dale and Keefe today. But Jesus Christ. Kate, you can stay out of this one, Kate.
Right.
But, oh my God. It's just fucking... They're so afraid to criticize anyone other than the accepted targets. It's like, oh, let's go after David Price. Okay, everyone is. Like, we get it. And, like, I turned it on today, and Rich Keefe is arguing with a caller because the guy said he wasn't good at baseball when he was a kid or something. It's like, what am I listening to? What the fuck am I listening to? It's bizarre. And I think that's just a bore of a show. So when I just wanted to say that because when I hear that, you know, I'm not interesting enough to be on the air, or I'm not making enough news, and it's like, well, this is, it's like, holy shit, and I, you know, maybe I'm not good enough to deserve a shot, but it's like, if I'm not, then holy fuck, who is? So it's been, you know, that's been my thought listening to this station the last month and a half. I'm sure I'll get, you know, I'm not allowed to say that for whatever reason. It's a weird thing where it's like, no one listens to my show. Say something that makes news. I make fun of people. And they're like, don't do that. So it's like, okay, well,
too much news.
I don't know what you want from me. So, you know, I've just started. I don't give a fuck anymore. I'm gonna say whatever I want. And if they get rid of me, my boy's a barstool. I've talked to them. I'll stop being vague about that.
Right.
I
open up.
I recorded a couple audition podcasts for Barstool Sports. my former employer. And I haven't heard anything official. But I've been told. My boy, sales guy, told me, who's kind of, if you don't know Barstool, he's kind of Portnoy's right-hand man, basically. The Baba Booey to Howard Stern of the Barstool world. So I sent the auditions to a sales guy. Said it was obviously it was obvious that I've learned a lot since my time at Barstool, doing this podcast, and that he not only put it on Portnoy's radar, he gave it to him to listen to on the flight to Rough and Rowdy.
Oh wow!
So that's pretty cool. At the very least. Dave Portnoy is listening to two boys from East Long Meadow while he's on his flight. But the only tough thing is now, and I know this from working in that office, the tough thing is actually getting him to listen to it. So I've been told it was good enough to at least warrant a listen from the big boss, and that's kind of where we are now. So hopefully I hear more. Hopefully it gets into his ears and he likes it. But that's where we are now. And
was it a podcast or a video?
Podcast.
Podcast. All right.
And I would assume that also comes with, I would have to do videos for them and shit, right, like I was doing before, and which I would like doing. I honestly like those. Like, obviously, a lot of them make me look like a fucking moron. But I like
the
doing
the ping pong video.
Yeah. But I like doing them. So as long as, like, I'm doing a podcast or something more than I was doing before, totally fine with that. But I was sick of being vague about it. And I just wanted to talk about it. And also, that doesn't mean, I don't think, that means I would have to stop doing this podcast. Unless one of the parties tells me I do. Unless EEI says, go fuck yourself. Or Barstool says, you can't do both. But I think it was an option. When Jerry Thornton left for Barstool, if I remember right. I think he still did, like, fill-in work here and shit like that. So I would assume that would still be an option for me. Hopefully I hear back. Maybe I won't.
Don't say goodbye to us, Mike.
Oh, no, I would never leave you people. But yeah, you know, I want to start doing stuff like I was doing with Gilroy more often, but I don't hear dick about that. Apparently I'm not making enough news to be on nights or weekends. So it's like, what was I going to do? Sit on my fucking hands and be, well, I hope someday they call me up.
You're only getting older, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I'm an old man. I'm in my late 20s, for Christ's sake now.
I'm nearing 30.
I just turned 27. Oh. I'm almost dead. So I had to do something, and I wanted to update the listeners of the loyal listeners of this, the gearheads.
Gearheads.
That's right.
Wow.
The loyal listeners of this program on what I was doing, and that's pretty much it. So, Caitlin, how do you feel after your first episode?
I regret my mistake right in the middle there, but no, good. I feel like a new person.
Glad to have you.
Yeah.
And you'll only get better from here.
That's what we can hope for.
All right. Subscribe. Guys, if you're tired of hearing me bitch about this shit, then just subscribe on iTunes and give us a 5-star rating and positive review. And tweet, you know, the likes of Joe Zarbano and Chris Curtis and tell them, hey, Ken Laird, say, hey, this Blind Mike guy, he's entertaining. He's better than what you got now, which isn't saying much. But I'm at @BlindMike_ on Twitter if you want to include me in those tweets as well. And I think that's it. Goodbye.
You've been listening to Trash Talk with Blind Mike. Hear it again on WEEI.com, iTunes, and the radio.com app. Tune in next week for another edition of Trash Talk, a presentation of WEEI.com.